Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is 8:16 now on this Good Friday morning, and it hardly seems like Easter weekend, but it is. And you heard Superintendent Sean Ferguson say that, you know, it is a traditional thing, Good Friday, with the crawfish boils and the fish fries and so forth. And then Easter Sunday, a big day for barbecues and cookouts, and not this year. You know, I don't know if you heard the interview or not, but we're going to post it with Dr. Mark Lurie that explained the differences, for example, between a peak and a finish line. And I think people are looking at a peak as the finish line, and it is anything but. Our friend Archbishop Gregory Amon joins us now, pre-flight, I guess. Good morning, Archbishop. How you doing?
Okay, Tommy. How are you?
And you feeling fine?
I'm doing pretty good, yes. Doing
well. So I'm fine, thank you. So I'm looking at the picture of this plane that you're going to fly in today. Is that the one you're going to be in?
I think so. It's an open cockpit, and it's a 1943.
For those that have not seen the picture, it's one of these, I don't know if you call it a biplane, but they got two sets of wings. They got those struts in between. And he got, as the Archbishop just said, two seats open. I guess the pilot sits in the front and you sit in the back, or the other way around?
I'm not sure, but I'm at the airport right now, so I can tell you in about 5 minutes.
I can't wait to see a picture of you with the leather hat, the goggles, and the scarf wrapped around your neck. But maybe that won't be necessary.
I don't know. Anyway, it's an adventure, and it's a privileged opportunity to go above the city, to ride above the city, and to ask God's blessings.
I think it's a fun thing that you're doing. Yeah. I think it's a very important thing. Explain what it is exactly, I guess, that you're going to be doing during your 30-minute flight, and where can people look for you?
Exactly where they can look for us, I'm not sure, but they did.
I mean, besides up, everybody knows up, but beyond that,
everybody knows up. They say that you can see the plane; you'll be able to see it from the ground. We will be going throughout the city on both sides of the river, and during that time, I will be praying and asking God's blessings upon our city. And also, I have some holy water from the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized that was blessed there, which I will be able to pour over the city.
Are you nervous about this at all?
No, I trust. I trust in the Lord, and I think it's for a good cause. It's to ask God's blessings, and we can ask God's blessings from anywhere, but it's a symbolic thing that we are in a time of need and a time of crisis. And we're asking God to continue to journey with us and to make sure that we are taken care of and protected.
At least you don't have to worry about overhead storage, because the only thing above you is going to be sky and clouds.
That's right.
let's talk about Good Friday and how it's going to be different this year, if you will, and the religious significance of it, and how we as Catholics can observe it, and Christians, I guess, in general, can observe it. Although it's going to be different, still keep the sanctity of it in place and all throughout the weekend.
It'll be very different. This Holy Week has been unprecedented. No time in my life can I ever remember, and no time in my life did it happen, that we really couldn't go for Good Friday services in the church. Our churches will be open for private prayer, which means no more than 10 people can be there at a given time, and that has to be monitored rather carefully. But people can go for private prayer, and most of our liturgical services, like at the cathedral, will be at 3 o'clock, but the cathedral will be empty. And as I will say at that time, though it's empty, for me it looks full, because I wish people were there, and I am in solidarity with those who want to be there. It's a very important.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Archbishop. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's a very important holy day for us. You know, it's that day when Jesus was misjudged, mistreated, condemned unnecessarily, and he said yes. He said, "Father, it's your will and not mine. I'd rather that this cup would pass me by, but it's your will and not mine." And he offered himself as the sacrifice for the sin of humanity. No more was it goats or calves. It was the blood of the Son of God. And he did that for us. And it's not that we did anything to deserve it. He did it because he loves us. He wanted to fulfill the will of the Father. And he wants us to know that we are filled with God's love and mercy.
Archbishop, I was wondering about the seminary. Any outbreaks there or anybody affected by corona? And I don't want you to violate any confidences if I'm going too far here.
No, I can tell you most of the seminarians are still there. Some of them left because they wanted to go back to their diocese or back to their families. But the vast majority are there, and basically they're quarantined. They can only go around the grounds. And if they leave and go anywhere else, they can't come back. So they're basically all quarantined. And they will have all of the Holy Week liturgies at the seminary. And no one, for example, I can't visit the seminary. They can't visit me. It is quarantined. But at the same time, it's a time for them of prayer. And also they're finishing up some classes because the semester is almost over. So they're finishing up some classes as well. So I really admire them for continuing their formation in this time of crisis, and also spending time in prayer and being able to do the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday there.
You know, I think it's interesting when you talked about the churches being open, because both of us having grown up here, you know, making the nine churches was a big thing. Although, full disclosure, when I was a kid, I looked forward to the seafood platter at the end of it. But that's just because I was a kid.
That's okay.
It's true. I'm just being honest. But a lot of people love that tradition of making the nine churches, so they could still do that, and somebody will be at the door monitoring, I guess, how many people are in a church at the time, at the same time. And also, you would think a church is big enough where people could comfortably keep their distance from each other if there are only 10 of them in there.
That's right. And what we want to do is make the church available. It would be most unfortunate if we had to close our churches. But those who want to make the nine churches or the two churches or the five churches, whatever their desire is, to be able to go in to pray privately, to keep a social distance. And as people leave, then others would be able to come in. But we want to respect and observe what the governor and the mayor have asked of us. And that's no more than 10 people gathering at one time.
And you can still get your seafood platter. It'll just be takeout.
It'll be takeout, that's right. You won't be able to go to any restaurants, that's for sure.
In terms of the services, I know 3 o'clock on Good Friday, usually there is a service. Holy Saturday, the Mass, I guess it's not midnight. I forgot what they call
eight,
it. But
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is the vigil.
It's going to be dark with everything, with the fire and all of that. I'm sorry, Archbishop, I'm presenting it this way. But Easter Sunday, will these services be televised so people can still observe the traditional things?
Yes. Many, many parishes are doing live stream, and they will be doing, for example, this afternoon, the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday. At the cathedral, we will be doing the liturgical service at 3 o'clock today. That will be live streamed. The Easter Vigil Mass is not live streamed from the cathedral. However, I do invite people to join us at 11 o'clock on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday for the Cathedral Mass, Solemn Mass. Also, my heart goes out to those who are supposed to join the church. We have over close to 350 people who are coming into the church, and either to be baptized or to make a profession of faith in the Catholic Church. The vast majority of those have had to delay that, and my heart really goes out to them. This is a day that they've been looking forward to months and months and months, maybe years, and to have to say to them, you know, it's not safe to have that many people. You wouldn't be able to invite family. And so wait. And my heart really goes out to them, and they will be very much a part of my prayer on Holy Saturday and on Easter Sunday.
Very important the service, important part of the Vigil Mass as well. Archbishop, I appreciate your time. I really do. God bless you. I know you'll be safe in the plane. If you can make a Passover bell chase, it can't hurt.
Okay, I'll make sure to do that. I'll tell the pilot.
All right, please. We'll pray for you. Be safe and have a blessed Easter.
Thanks, Tommy. Blessed Easter to all of those who are listening to.
Thank you, sir. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk next half hour with Michael Williamson, CEO of United Way of Southeast Louisiana. We try to feature some charities to make sure that people can get what they need during this extraordinary time. So we'll do that when we come back right now. Time for traffic on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.